Good morning, welcome to everyone. Don't hold your breath, have your glasses out to read, not that it's going to make it any better, so this is to that point in time where I have to use them. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning, and just as I was thinking about what I wanted to speak on this morning, I'm sure most of us that bring lessons, think about what's going on just around us in our lives, and where can we draw some encouragement from the Bible in those things we're dealing with. And recently, just some things have occurred. You realize how feeble the human body is. You realize how fast time goes, and it's not going to be a lesson today on how fast life goes as far as mist. It goes away. Those verses that we can all recall. It's just more of trying to encourage us to focus on heaven, focus on the gifts that Jesus and God have provided to us, most especially Jesus as he came to earth, and help us just think about that as we go about our lives and look at those people around us that we care about, that we want to encourage, and that includes, folks sitting in this room today. So let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50. We'll read through the end of that chapter. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I think we can all agree our service to God is to please him and ultimately to have that victory over death. That's the end goal. That's what we strive for every day as we go about our lives. That goal, and we get there through our service to God. Back to my earlier comment about how feeble sometimes we all deal with different things, whether it be a bad back, whether it be something more serious than that. We know that our bodies break down. We know that as we age, things become more challenging as we move around on this earth. But one thing I think some folks will look forward to, most of us will, was that we understand that these bodies won't go to heaven, that we're going to be changed. When that trumpet sounds, we're going to have a new being, a new form. Our soul is going to go up there to heaven to be with God. And for a lot of people, especially those loved ones that we see that are dealing with difficulties in this life, we've all heard that a lot of times at funerals, a way to comfort ourselves of, well, they're in a better place, those kind of things. So when we miss those people on earth, I think we do understand that God has promised us that new being, and our soul will be with him in heaven. And many times, when I hear the word victory, I'm thinking of a contest. I'm thinking of a sporting event. And so here we're talking about victory over sin. And one thing I would encourage us to look at it as is, as we try to accomplish this, we try to attain that goal of heaven, we try to live that life that God and Christ would want us to live, that we look to our teammates. Again, I'm a sports guy. I like those kind of analogies. You, first of all, our primary teammates are our coaches, however you want to look at it, Jesus and God. But the folks sitting in this room, those folks in churches elsewhere, they're on our team. They're here to help us reach this goal and have this ultimate victory of heaven. So if that helps you think about the folks sitting next to you in the pew, please take it. It's kind of how I view things and how I approach a lot of things in my life is look around those people that can help me and know what their role is and what my role is to them. And then back up in verse 58, we're talking about, he talks about the work of the Lord. This kind of goes back to, if it's a team, if it's our church, we have work to do. You got to put in the work to be successful. And so we want to remind ourselves that we work for the Lord. We do his work here on this earth, and that it's not in vain. We know that God is going to keep his word. Now, that's on both sides. That's if we're doing what we're supposed to and we're found faithful, he's going to let us go to heaven and be with him. If on the other side, he's promised us that if we don't do that, there's another consequence that none of us want. And we all know that he's a God of his word. You can see that throughout Scripture. So here in verse 52, I want to focus a little bit on heaven again. When we talk about that trumpet will sound and we're all going to go to heaven. I appreciate a recent comment at a Bible study about heaven. And I don't mean to be critical of the verse of this song, but I personally don't like the verse of a song, you'll know what it is, where it says, I want a gold one that's silver lined, talking about a mansion. And the reason I say that is songs are written by men. I like the thought that we had this earlier this week of we want to go to heaven because we're with God, not because of material or what we get. We don't get it's going to be a beautiful place. We know that. I just always thought it would be neat if that author of that song could have said something, I want to be Christ's neighbor. I want to be Jesus's neighbor. I don't know. I mean, that's just how I think of it. And I thought that as we think about heaven, we need to continue to remind ourselves, yes, heaven's going to be beautiful, but let's remember we want to go there because we're going to be in the presence of God and Jesus, not because of how beautiful it is. That's, in my view, a very just earthly way of looking of something that God has promised us. Again, it's going to be beautiful, but I want to be there because God and Jesus are there. Real quick, let's move on to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 through 16. Furthermore, when I come to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened to me by my Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? So again, just talking about how God leads us in triumph in Christ. Again, just a reminder of that's what we're doing. We're serving God. We know that we're on that winning team, and God will lead us there. Christ will lead us there. And we just have to be mindful of the knowledge that we are given through lessons like this. Hopefully you're taking some stuff away from it. It's obviously from God's word, I hope, and just in our studies and just in what God wants for us all, which is to be good Christians, be good friends to those people in this room, and to ultimately wind up in heaven. And I want to remind us in 15 that, again, we are all perishing back to our physical bodies. We're all perishing from the standpoint of our physical bodies breaking down as we get older, and then we know that our soul will perish as far as if we don't wind up in heaven with God. Okay, the last verse, I want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Just 13 and 14. These are really neat verses, and these will be very short, and then we'll wrap it up. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. When I saw that comment about be brave, I initially was going to gear that comment towards our young people, and I thought, well, that kind of applies to all of us, right? Because this is a tough world. There's a lot of tough things that we deal with every day. Whether it be just how do we describe where the church fits into our life, where how do we stand on things that are going on in the world and how that pertains or doesn't pertain to God's word and his promises to us. It takes some courage sometimes to speak God's word, speak God's truth, and to have those conversations with folks, because that's something that's very hard to do because we are the minority. There's not many folks that would view it like we would, I would suspect, and pick your topic. So I would just remind all of us that we just need to be brave, and that it takes courage. But with Christ, we can do it, and we can do his commandments, because we were given all of his commandments in the Bible, and it's for all of us to read. And regardless of how well we read, how smart we are on this earth, we can all understand it and understand what God wants us to do. So those are all my thoughts this morning. I hope they were encouraging as we focus on our service to God, as we deal with those things that are challenging for us on this earth, whether it be situations we're facing, whether it be physical infirmities, just challenges that we all have. I hope that we all keep our focus on heaven and realize and remember that Christ is there and he's waiting for us, and hopefully we can encourage each other and help each other get there. That's all I have.